So we're holding Chav Vav Amad Beis. Today's daf is Daf Chav Zayin and Nida. We're Chav Vav Beis. We're in the middle of the Amad Yasser Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa Kamei Rav Kana Yasser Gamer. He was sitting in front of Rav Kana, and Rav Yitzchak was saying Amar Vida Marav. He said the name of Vida Marav. Kol Shlosh Yom Harishanim Telan Asashili Bavlad. The first 3 days after a child is born, the Shilya, the afterbirth that comes out, we say it's not some sort of separate birth, which we read Afkamina for Tumas Leda for counting of the days. It's not a separate birth. Rather, it is just afterbirth from that Vlad. But from here on, Chayshin, after 3 days, we're Chayshish that perhaps it's a separate Vlad and we'll give it separate Dine Leda. Again, Rashi explains that Afkamina is, Rashi focuses on the after the very, after Leda is for Nekeva, 14 days of Tuma and 66 days of Tara, let's just say. And then afterwards, on the 81st day, if she sees Dom, she's a Nida. If this afterbirth came after 3 days, so we start a new clock, let's assume it's a female. I mean, could go to Chumra, a possibility it's a female. We start a new clock, so if you'd see Dom after on the 81st day, normally that'd be Nida, and then she'd be Tami 7 days, and as long as she doesn't see Dom afterwards, she'd be Tar. If she sees Dom afterwards, she'd be seeing Dom in her 11 days, where she sees Dom needs one clean day and goes to the mikvah. But now that she had afterbirth 3 days later, her Yemei Tara really potentially extended 3 more days, which means what she was considering till now Yemei Ziva would now still be Yemei Nida, because her clock only started what she thought was the 81st day is really not the 81st day, only starts 3 days later, it starts on the 84th or 85th day. Fine, that's what Rashi explains. The Mepharshim are actually just not so much Akasha, they find it interesting. Rashi could have said a much more simple afkamina, that when Isha has a Vlad, worst case scenario for Tumah right away is a Nekeva, a male 7 days, and Nekeva is 14 days. She has the Vlad, she's counting 14 days. If she has an afterbirth 3 days later, more than 3 days, you got to start a new count to 14 Tumah days. That's all. I mean, that way simple. Another afternoon. Okay, both are true. Rashi just picked one. Amale. But again, the main focus of this halacha is that we're saying that after 3 days, we cannot attribute the afterbirth anymore to the child that was born. We have to be concerned it's another Leda. Amale. If Kana is back to Rav Yitzchak, me and Rav Achi, do Rav really say this from Rav? Rav said a different klal. Ein avam b'sakev achaver klum. When you have twins, let's say pregnancy of twins, the Vlad, one child, is not delayed after the other one at all. They're born together. So how can you have, what's your chashash? Your chashash, there's a Vlad who was already born a few days ago. And now the afterbirth comes out. And in the afterbirth, we're saying, it's not the afterbirth from that Vlad that was born. It's afterbirth with containing a new Vlad that disintegrated or whatever it may be. But when you have twins, they're born together. So Ishtik, Rav Yitzchak was quiet. Amalei, so if Kana said to Rav Kana now offered a suggestion, Dilma Kama Nefa Kama Ben Kaima. Maybe it makes a difference whether it's a Nefa Ben Kaima. I mean, Rav's klal, that they're born together, is when you have a Ben Kaima, when you have a viable child. So then you're right, then another child that comes with it, another Uber that comes with it, would have to come right away. But when the first one that came out was an Nefa, then you could have an afterbirth of a separate one a few days later. So Amalei, Rav Yitzchak said, the question is, I kind of learned this, Atam Adishmai to Rav. The way I understand it, he's saying it complimentary. You're saying over Rav Shmaitza, meaning on your own, you're trying to guess what Rav is saying. But Feishem Rav Achi, you're talking right. I mean, Rav Yitzchak was quiet when the question was asked, but now the Rav Kana enlightened him with his answer. Rav Yitzchak says, "You're right. That's exactly what Rav taught us. Hepila Nefil v'achach Hepila Shalya. If first she has a Nefil, so she has a miscarriage which is not surviving, and then afterwards a Shalya comes out. So what's the timeline frame for there?" Over there we say only for 3 days are you telling the afterbirth with that nafel that came out. But afterwards, because even though Rav had a klal that the babies are born at the same time, that's only when the first baby that came out was viable. But if the first baby that came out was a nafel, then maybe they're not being born at the same time. And therefore we have to be concerned the afterbirth is a separate vlad. So up to 3 days we say it's a continuation of that birth. But afterwards we say it could be a new leda, and we have to be chayshu v'nu tumah. However, that's all when the first baby was a nafel. Yolda, what if she gave birth to a live child? V'yachach hepila shalya, and then afterwards she discharged from body shalya. In that case, afil mekamer asar yamim in chayshu levar acher. Even after 10 days, you're not concerned. And Amelia pointed out, 10 days is as always is kind of a. We're just saying even 10 days. 15 days would be the same thing. Even if it's 10 days, l'chayra. Even if it's up to 10 days, you're not going to be concerned that it's a separate birth, because since the child that came out was viable, had there been another child in there, even if this one is not going to be viable, it would have come out at the same time. So if it didn't, it must be, it's just a plain afterbirth, just a shell, without any baby inside it. You don't consider it a new tumas leda. Shmuel v'dmi d'rav hav yasvi. Shmuel and Rav Salmidim, this is after Rav passed on, Shmuel and Rav Salmidim are sitting, Rav Yehuda Aviasvi, and Rav Yehuda was sitting there, and Rav Yehuda is key in the story because Rav Yehuda was the primary Talmud of Rav and of Shmuel, and after Rav passed on, he would give over the members of Rav to Shmuel. Okay? So, says the Gemara, Chalafaz Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Nashia Midvil Apayo. Rav Yosef from Breid Rav Nashia Midvil passed by all these rabbanim that were sitting, and Bali Vasi, he walked by quickly. And apparently, just to give a little more color to the next line of the Gemara, they felt it a little bit, it was a little bit of a disrespect that he walked by a group of chashuv rabbanim and he passed by quickly. So Amar, one of them said, "Isla Gavra Darmina Le Begila the Chitzisa Umirme Midchi." You have this Gavra over here that gets like a question the size of like a wheat kernel, wheat stubble, like a tiny question, and he's stumped with it. A little bit of a knack, he gets stumped. He can't move. He's stuck with this question. At Hachi Asa, in the meantime, Rabbi Yosef came closer to the group. Amar Le. So Shmuel said to Rav Yosef, "My Amar Rav Bishalia. What did Rav say about Ashalia? Amalei." So he said, "Hachem Rav." Rav said as follows: "Ain Taylan as Ashalia El Bedav Shal Kaima." Now here's a further qualification: you're not Taylan an afterbirth only if it was Davish Kaima, which means even if there was a Nafel that came out a few days earlier, we're saying you could be Taylan the Shalia up to 3 days. That's what he said. That was the first hint that we had earlier. Up to 3 days, you could be Taylan the Shalia with the Nafel. After 3 days, you can only be Taylan the Shalia with the Nafel. But that's only a nefil that was at least a davar shel kaima. What on earth does that mean? By definition, nefil means it's not living; it dies. But there's different types of nefils. There's nefils that, let's say, they just came out too early; it couldn't survive. But you look at the body of the uber, and it's fully formed. It was destined to be a healthy uber. Nebuchadnezzar just didn't work. Or you can have a nefil which is totally deformed: one eye, one thigh in the middle. It was never going to be a proper child to begin with. Says Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav, a further qualification that you only tailor the afterbirth with a prior nafel if it was a nafel shel kayama, if it was a nafel that theoretically had it finished its term, would have been able to live, and it just poked in and finished its term. So Shalini l'Shmuel l'chol tamid Rav Amilachi. So Shmuel asked tamid of Rav, did Rav Taka say this other? Qualification to this din of being tailor the afterbirth with the Vlad? And they responded, yes. And they said, yes, Rav did say it. So Hadachaz the Rav Yudabishas. Rav Shmuel looked at Rav and said, you're my go-to for all the members of Rav. We got, and the first member of four, if you noticed, it was Rav Yitzchak. Who did Rav Yitzchak say it from? In the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav. The first member of Shalia was said in the name of Yehuda Rav. So Shmuel looked at Rav Yehuda, Bishas, upsetness that you let him down because he didn't say over this member of Rav. Okay. What if a woman ejects from her body a baby or a fetus in the shape of a raven and a separate shalya? What's the halacha? What's the shayla? So the kulim is the shayla according to her mayor or according to her rabbanon. We can explain according to her rabbanon. The rabbanon, we have a machlekes. When a woman ejects from her body, that which looks like a chaya oif, or behema, her mayor says, she's talking to Mislaita. Chum say, no, it's got to look like a human. So let's explain it like the Chachamim. Has to look like a human, and therefore this raven would not make a tumah to Mislaita. But if the afterbirth is not from the raven, if the afterbirth is a separate afterbirth, and there may have been a child that disintegrated inside there, she would be tumah to Mislaita. So do you attribute the afterbirth to the raven or not? That would be one simple way to explain. Again, they first explain also in Remeir and the Shaila Zachar and Akeva, depending what the gender of the raven was, this raven-like substance, according to Remeir, that does have tumah. If it was like a Zachar, you have to be worried that the embryo, that the afterbirth, was also a separate Vlad and potentially an Akeva, and therefore give the Chumrah of an Akeva as well. That would be the question according to Remeir. Okay. But let's go simple according to Chumrah. You have to worry about the afterbirth of Chal. Amalei, Ein Telen Abu Dava Sheish B'minei Shalya. Ravens don't have afterbirths. Ravens come from eggs, right? They don't have afterbirths. You're not Taylor an afterbirth. If the shape that came out is a raven, you can't be telling an afterbirth in something which doesn't have afterbirths. Kshur b'mau. So Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul asks, okay, very good, but what if it's intertwined? What if it's clear the afterbirth is somehow connected with this raven? Isn't that a pretty good indication that it was, again, it's not really a raven, it's a human that looks like a raven. So isn't it pretty clear that the afterbirth is connected to the raven, and therefore I don't have to be chayish for the afterbirth? Again, the answer was that you can't be telling the afterbirth with the raven, and therefore she would be tummy to Mislaita from the afterbirth, according to Chamim, and you ignore the raven. So the question now is, what if it's intertwined? Would you see over there also you tummy for the afterbirth? Go the other way. No, one step, it could either be the proof or it could be completely separate shalya. It's completely separate. So that's exactly the question. Amar Le, you're saying a third option. Shouldn't the Shalya make it that even the Rabbanim would agree the Raven should have a status of Ayyam? Amar Le, Dover Shayna Shalta, you asked something that doesn't exist. It's a very geshmaka question, you're saying. It won't happen. Because when it gives ejects from its body a raven, it won't happen after birth. That doesn't go together. The Maisli Gemara says we have cases that seems to happen. If a woman aborts for her body a shape of a behem chayv with a shilya, when the shilya is together with them, yinachayish for another vlad. We don't suspect the shilya has a separate vlad. Rather, we say the shilya is connected to this behem chayv life. Mamish like the shayla that was asked. Mamish like the mamish like shayla. If it's not intertwined, if it's not connected, then we're not concerned that the shilya was a viable, we'll call it a regular human nafil, as opposed to this behem chayav life, and therefore the shilya would give off tumma, even though behem chayav life wouldn't give off tumma. Then you are chayshish. Then you are chayshish. It's separate. But if it's together, we attribute the shilya to this behem chayav life, and according to Abanan, that don't give off tumma. Itaka won't be tummy. According to me, it would be tummy. According to Chamun, won't give off tumma. We see clear raya that Rebbe Mishael Shaila is not only a good shaila. The price seems to indicate like him. Says the Gemara further. Harini matalim, what do you do? You put on them in a case where it's not kashura, when it's separate. Harini matalim, chaymer shnevadas. You put into the chumra top of chazanav of shnevadas. Again, meaning we assume that there was a shalya here with a real human inside it that gives off one tumma, and separately there was this raven or this chayav life behemoth that's in this brisa. Shani aymer shavni muach shvir shashayav and muach shalya shashvir. And then we're just the brisa just elaborates what happened over here. What happened over here has to be that the embryo in the shalya disintegrated, because you're obviously not finding a separate embryo in the shalya, otherwise you wouldn't have a question. And also, if you're saying the shalya and this, let's say this chaya-like substance that came with Isha are separate, there must be that the chaya was missing its sac, and the sac is missing its embryo, but it's two separate things here. You see clear raya to base Mishael Shaila, and then indeed we are worried about it. Says Mar Tiyufta, it's Taka Tiyufta on Rebbe's Pesach. Rebbe held, you're not worried about it, it won't even exist, it won't happen. You see a raya that could happen, and we are concerned for it. Amar Rabba Bashila, Amar Basa, Amar Shmuel, Maisav tells us the Shalya Bavad Adasar Yamin. Back to the story of a woman giving birth and then having a Shalya come out of her body later. There was a Taka story where up to 10 days after she gave birth, they were tailored the Shalya with the Vlad. Now, it makes perfect sense. We said, even 10 days. Why? If she gives birth to a viable child, then if there were twins, they arrive as a klal, the twins would come out at once. So the Shalya is coming out 10 days later for sure. It's not a separate Vlad, a separate birth. It must be it's the afterbirth from that very same Vlad that was born. But the Gemara elaborates, like we just spoke out, only if a shalya came after a vlad was born, are we taila the shalya in the vlad? But if it didn't come after a viable child, then we would not be taila the shalya in the vlad. We'd have to be concerned that it's a separate shalya, like I said before. If it's an eifel, we give it up to how many days? 3 days. There's a story where they tell the shalya in a vlad up to 23 days after the child was born. It wasn't 23 days. You told us it was 24 days. A similar conversation. There's a story where one vlad was born separate from another. Two vladas were born. This should seemingly be a question on Rav's klal that they born together. There's a story where there was two twins born 33 days apart. On my basis, it wasn't 33 days. Rather, Shesha Arbamlan, it was 34 days. First, I explained that both these stories, 23 and 24, 33 and 34, it wasn't really an argument. There wasn't a discrepancy. One was counting the day of birth or the day of ejection of the shalya, and one was not counting that day. So are you counting the days in between? It was 23 and 23 and 33. If you're counting the day that it came out also, including that day, it's 24 and 34. That's why it was given over, maybe slightly different. There's no real machlekes. Okay. Says the word, now we have an issue. Honey chaman damar. Now, how on earth are they being born 33 days apart? Honey chaman damar. We have like this. We know children can be born after either 7 months of pregnancy, in the Gemara's times, 8th month, were non-viable. 7 months of pregnancy or 9 months of pregnancy. But within the 7th month and 9 months, what does that mean? Does it have to be 9 full months and 7 full months or not? So we say like this. Everyone agrees that 7 months, ironically enough, doesn't mean 7 full months. It could be, but it could be anywhere between the 6th and 7th months. 7 months means in the 7th month. 7 months could be what we call mikutam. It could be a non-full month. So a 7-month baby could be born anywhere after month 6 till the end of month 7 in that full month. 9-month babies is machlekes. Doesn't need to be full term, or not. Eighth month of saying is no good, right? There'll be an eighth. Says the Gemara, honey, chlamat amar, if you hold that the 9 month baby could be born limited time, so it's very good. Mishkachas, how do you have a 33 day disparity between twins? Mishkachas, echas nigmar tzurasa, the safe shifa. One of the twins, its tzura is finished at the end of 7 months, and it came out at the end of 7 months. Vechanim, which rustle, tzitisha. And the other one, it finishes tzura at the beginning of the 9th month, so it's only 30 and days and change apart, and therefore it's 33 days, 34 days. Elamad amilatz l'tisha, any lets l'mukatayim. But if you hold a 9 month baby, it cannot be l'mukatayim. It's got to be the full term, full 9 months. So between the 7th and 9th month, you have to have extra 60 days. Michael and Meir says the Merzel came 60 days. They formed, they came out, they were conceived the same time, and they came out separately because one was the 7th month and one was the 9th month. But it should be 60 days. Epech shmeitza. So the Mer answers, flip it. Shleisha mushleisha l'shaya. Esem Ushleisha Levad. Say in the stories, there was an afterbirth that came out 33 days later. And we said when there's a viable child, afterbirth comes out later, we attribute it to the child no matter what. And when we said there was a separation of the two twins, that was the case of 23 days. What did we gain? We said by a 7th month, everyone agrees you could have Mikutayim. So you have the two babies, both born in the 7th month. One was fully formed by the beginning of the 7th month, and one was fully formed by the end of the 7th month. That's the 23-day break in between. Amar Rav Avin Bar Rav Ada Amar Rav Menachem Ishkvar Shearim V'Amilah Beis Shearim Ma'isiv Nishtal Vlad Echad Achaveri Shleisha Chadashim. There's a story where one Vlad was 3 months after the other twin. V'Arei Yeshu L'Fanin Beis Medrash, and they sing from the Beis Medrash, and they're very famous people. Umaniyu Yehuda V'Chizki Bnei Abchia. Reb Chiya's two sons, Yud and Chizki, were born 3 months apart. They're twins. They were born 3 months apart. How is that? How is that possible? So the Gemara is assuming that only way that could be is if she was pregnant and became pregnant again 3 months later. That must be how it happens. But we know, we have a klal. Once a woman's pregnant, she cannot become pregnant again, which is interesting because elsewhere the Gemara is worried about a pregnant girl getting pregnant and the second Uber crushing the first Uber. Right, so the first discuss over there, the Mer says that's one of the nashim that can be mishameshes b'meich. She could use like a sponge to make sure she doesn't get pregnant because it can crush the herb that's there. But a woman's very pregnant, doesn't get pregnant again. These two gemaras seem to be a steamer. The Rosh Hashanah will deal with it. Doesn't mean she'll get pregnant again, or it means that won't get pregnant. But the zera itself will crush the herb. Okay, that's a separate sugya. But the klal is a woman is pregnant cannot become pregnant again. So how are they being born 3 months apart? But you all know the answer. Do the math. Rabbi, from what we discussed, you have the simple answer. It was one tipa that was chakashtayim, meaning there was two separate conceptions that took place from that one tashmish. The taka was one tashmish, and the conceptions took place at the same time from the same relations. However, echad nigmar tzurasa b'tchila shiva, we said shiva could be l'mukatayin. So shiva could really mean 6 months and one day it could be born. One was born 6 months and one day, and one was born at the end of 9 months. Echad nigmar tzurasa b'tchila shiva at the beginning of the 7th month, meaning 6 months and a day. Ve'echad b'seif tisha, and therefore you have a 3 month break between the two. Shalya b'bayis habayis tummy. We said in the Mishnah that if you find the afterbirth in the house is tummy. Why? Because we assume in the afterbirth is a disintegrated baby and disintegrated mace, and therefore give some of his mace to the house. Tanar b'anim. The price is really an elaboration of our Mishnah. Shai b'bayis habayis tummy, if there's afterbirth in the house is tummy. Leisha shai v'lad, not that the shai is a v'lad, that's word for like a Mishnah, not that the shai itself is a v'lad, el she'in shai she'im v'lad ima. Every shai had a v'lad within it, and therefore we have to assume the shaya disintegrated in the shaya and is giving off tuma divra meir. Right, based on Rebbe Yehuda Shimon at Mitar, and they say tar. Now, and our Mishnah was just Rebbe Shimon. Over here, it's Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon all say tar because they assume that the vlad disintegrated before it came out of her body. Amay lir meir, they said to our meir, yat amayd shemaytziu b'seifel lebay sechit sechutar. Don't you agree that if you take this afterbirth in a bull and carry it out to another house and then you inspect it in the other house again? Let's be clear. By the time you're inspecting the afterbirth, there's no vlad inside it. That's for sure. The machlekes just says, do we say there was a vad? Well, it was still that the vad was still had some substance to it by the time it came out of her body. Rameir saying yes, and these three chachamim saying no. So they said to Rameir, don't you even carry out to another house that you and check it? The other house will not become tummy; it will remain tar. Alam Avli says, I do agree. V'lama, so why is that so? So Rameir says, v'sheina, because you see clearly the uber, the fetus, is no longer in this shaya. I'm really came shayna b'vayis chitzin, kachin b'vayis pimi. So just like it's not b'vayis chitzin, when you cut open if you cut open the shaya and found the vlad there, of course the house is tummy. The case must be when you cut open the shaya, inspected it, and there's no vlad in there. So same issue, why only be matar when it goes to the next house? Even the first house should be matar because already was disintegrated. Amr lemser, mayor sabak, ainu deminimik pamachas, lenimik shtepamim. You can't compare something that was dissolved once to being dissolved twice. Meaning the moving of it, transfer of house to house, every time it has a big act done to it, it can cause disintegration. So when it comes out of her body the first time, there's some left in it, and therefore we're saying gives off tumma. When you're moving it again, that action of moving it will cause it to disintegrate further, and by that point, I agree, it'll be fully dissolved. And you're saying the following. My time with Rabbi Shimon, who says that you assume it's tar, it came out of her, already was butl. Kasavar kol tumah she'asar b'menachar butla. He holds any tummy that was mixed in with some other substance, it becomes, it dissolves the power for the tumah to give off, for the item that was tummy to give off its tumah. So, since the inside afterbirth, you have other blood, other junk inside this placenta, which is not from the baby itself. So that other junk is mevatel, the dissolved fetus, and therefore will not give off tumah. Amar Papa, that's the same reason of Rabbi Yehuda Arbesi, achichola, maishnap shita. So all three of them said the same shita, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda. So when Papa came and added, the same reason he said for Rabbi Shimon, that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda Arbesi, they said, so achichola, the Rabbanan laughed at him, maishnap shita, why would I think it would be different? The Mishnah, the Brisa quotes them all as one shita, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, as one shita, why would I think if you give a reason for Rabbi Shimon, the reason for Rabbi Yehuda would be different? Amar Papa said, even a member like this, which you're saying is passionate, and people laugh at me for saying, Leimanish, Flanish to Kamei Rabbi. A person should say it, and he shouldn't be quite in front of his Rebbe, Mishim Shinemar, Im Navalta Bisnase, Fimzame Siad Lepeh. If you're Navalta, then Bisnase, you're going to be raised up. If you became maneuvered, so to speak, you'll be raised up. But if you were quiet, then you have to put your hand in your head, which means, if you're ready to let yourself become embarrassed, then you'll get all the information you need, and then you'll be able to be raised up, because you'll be able to issue the right psak later. Because, I mean, he made the comment in front of the Rebbe to make sure to confirm that it's all true, and that way his confidence to know his halachas, to know his stuff well. If you're embarrassed to speak up and you're quiet now, later when someone asks you shayla, you're not going to know for sure with certainty because you didn't clarify with the Rebbe. So essentially, he's saying better take a little busha and better speak up than keep quiet, and that ultimately have the knowledge. Vaz Reb Shimon Tamei. Now we say Reb Shimon is going court this reasoning. This again, Reb Shimon's say was that even though we're saying that to your point from before Shmuel that there is mace, but the assumption is. Ain Shalya Blay Vlad. The assumption is the Vlad stock is still in here and it's just disintegrated. But the problem is it became battle. The reason why it's tar is because it disintegrated and it became battle with the other junk that's mixed inside of her of the amniotic sac. So it says this idea that there's bittel on tuma, Fazu Shimon Tamei, the Tanya, Mali Tarvid Rekev, specifically Tumas Amace. Mali Tarvid Rekev Shinafal Sekhai Afar Kol Shu Tamei. This is a famous idea that by a mace you have a corpse in the ground, eventually it dries out, disintegrates, and it becomes dust, corpse dust. The halacha is, how much corpse dust conveys to Tumas Meis? Mali Tarvid, a full ladleful. What if you have Mali Tarvid Rekev, a full ladleful of dust of a mace, where some Ufer fell into it, Tamei. It remains Tamei. Tanakam is a Tamei, because you have a shear. As long as you have a shear, so even though some dirt got mixed in, it remains Tamei. Reb Shimon Batar, Reb Shimon says Tar. My time, Reb Shimon was proud of Reb Shimon. Rav, Ashkenu, Rabban of the Bay, Rav, yes, we come. My father, Rabban of the Bay, Spanish of Rav. And they were saying, they prayed this offer, I'll pray the Achaz Shorakev. The math is like this. It is still alumnus of Bavitl. You have a ladleful, if you have, the point is in the case you have Mitzumtzum, exactly a ladleful of corpse dust. So if you have two particles of dust that go near one particle of mace, it becomes a ratio of 2 to 1. And it's mevatel, that one little particle of mace. Now you're short, something more of a chasale. You're now short, you're ladleful. Because part of your ladle, not the whole ladle, but part of it was butle with the dust that got mixed in. And therefore you won't have a shear. Vaminilu. And I said to Madaraba, Yef Shalay Yirbu, Shtei prayed this rekev, Al, top of a mace, I'll pray Dachas Upper. Why are you looking at it that way? Go the other way, especially in your example that the earth got mixed in the ladle full of corpse dust. Say that the sand, the earth that got mixed in, was outnumbered and bundled by 2 to 1, let's say, from the particles of mace that's with it. On the contrary, it's mevatel the ufer, and therefore we have greater than a share now of ladle dust because of corpse dust, because the dirt should combine and be part of the share. Not for say shura. So the question is, if that's the lumnus, then I ask them that the lumnus should work backwards. Elam Rabba. So Rabba therefore says another pshat in Reb Shimon. How did Reb Shimon say? So this really seems to be when we see from the mark coming up now. It's a din, a specific din by mace. Seifa kitlasei halacha by the mace is that the end has to be like the beginning. Matzlas naslay davar acher gangilion. Av seifa naslay davar acher gangilion. Gangilion means like cancels out. The halacha is that when you bury a mace, we're going to quote a Bryce in a second, when you bury a mace, if the mace is buried alone, meaning without anything that could decompose and join into the dust of the mace, then when you have dust of this mace, it gives off tumah. If there's something together with the mace that can decompose, namely its clothing, techrichen, wooden coffin, as opposed to a coffin that does not disintegrate, would in part rot and disintegrate. So if it's mixed in with the mace, anything that could disintegrate and decompose with it, the mace will not give off tumma. That is halacha mitchila. So we're saying, just like it's halacha mitchila, so to afasayif, when you already have a ladle full of dust, of corpse dust, if it gets mixed earth into also, it'll serve as a gangilan, it will serve as a foreign substance, will serve as a canceling agent against the mace, against tumma's mace. This is again a very specific din. Mahi, we see the braisa, the time we look at the braisa, ezim mace sheish rekev, who is the mace which has the din of tumma's rekev, of the decomposed earth, of the mace, dirt of the mace, is tameh. Vezemesh engbrakim, where's the mace that doesn't have a din of corpse dust? Nikva arim, if he's buried naked. But arim, no clothing. Barin shashayish, in a marble arim, which will disintegrate. Ay, agabiritz v'shavadim, or on a stone floor. Zel meshesh l'rekev. That corpse dust will give off tumah, because there's no foreign object, nothing mixing in, and therefore it will give off, it will have tumah. However, nikva b'ksusai. Forever. Nikfar b'ksusai, if he's buried in his clothing, or ibarit shel eitz, or in a wooden coffin, ayal gabi ritzvah shel aveinim, or on a floor of bricks, zeh omei she'ein l'rekev, all these things, interesting, even bricks, all these things do decompose, and they can contribute to the dust of the decomposing maze, and therefore, they will mix together, and it's not considered pure corpse dust, and therefore, it will not give off tumah. V'le amu rekev el l'meis pavad. Now, the Bryce says, here's the key, I referenced this before, the Bryce speaks it out. This is special then by if you're wondering what happened to old, maybe this is what you're about to ask, Anil, what happened to old Dine Bittel and Raya, right, this din Rekev is specifically said by Mace, that it has to be clean of foreign objects in order to be susceptible, in order to have its din of Tumah. Lemute, well, really, the Bryce is saying another din, more than what I was just saying. Le'amu Rekev Elamais Bavad, we only said Rekev for someone that died naturally. So not what I was saying. Lemute harag delay, to exclusion of harag. So there's a separate criteria. What I was saying was true, that there's this din, that by me specifically, foreign item makes it not tummy. It's not a general, not the same din as all of the dine bittel of raiv. That's one din. What the Gemara is here saying is something different, which is that there's another exclusion. The exclusion is, let's say a person was killed. When a person who dies, which is very, I found this very interesting, again, seems like halacha might be seen, I think. When a person dies, so we say the entire body is intact, even though the person until he died may have been sick and may have coughed up, you know, blood and body perspective, certain people towards the end of, when they die, depending on how sick they are, don't die, we'll call it complete. But it's considered complete, as opposed to a person who's murdered. When a person's murdered, some blood, some part of his body is not intact, and therefore, that also will not be subject to this din of Tumas Rekev. It's got to be a complete mace. It can't be a mace which lost some of his blood before he died. I'm sorry? I'm not sure. That's a good question. That's what's bothering me. It sounds like this exactly. Let's say he's an amputee. I was saying simply coughed up blood, or you know, people before they die, all people who have serious illnesses, they're coughing blood towards the end of their life. It's very, very, very common. So that doesn't count. Only if he was killed because he lost blood in the murder. You're taking a step further. You're saying, what if he was literally missing a limb? He lived for 50 years with a missing limb, and now he dies. So that will have it because the Maisa, he died complete. I'm not sure. It sounds like it. Gufa, molly type.
This only applies when we're dealing with the dust or the body itself. This
dust.
It's only the dust.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, the body itself for sure.
This could make a lot of nafkaminas. I mean,
sure.
When you go into an old.
It's definitely brought in Rabbi Meshach Aner. I don't know.
The cemetery you go to today, and let's just say no one's been buried there for, you know, 50 years. As long as
what about bones?
Well, I don't know.
What about bones? We're talking about dust.
Well, you would assume that everything disintegrated, right? What are we discussing here?
Do bones disintegrate?
So then what is the Negev?
In the Negev, when there's no bones, but you just have corpse dust. What do you mean? When you have only corpse dust. When you have corpse dust, we're downing the corpse dust itself, correct? If you have a mace, like you started off saying, 100%, if there's a mace, it goes off tumah. If there's bones, that Daniel was getting to, how many bones you need for, you're discussing for Tumas Oil, Rav Binyan, for touching a mace, I don't know if you need that much. But the point is, if you have actual mace parts, for sure you tell me. We're talking about disintegrated corpse dust. Gufa. Mali Tarvid. I understand. I don't see why it makes a difference. Mali Tarvid Rekev. Shenafal L'Seichai Afar Kolshu Tameh. If you have a ladle full of corpse dust that small amount of earth fell into it. We're saying it's tamei from Shimon Tair. That's we're quoting the member from before, the batch before Shimon Tair. Motar rekish has passed by us. What if you have a ladleful of corpse dust that was scattered around the house? So you have the full ladleful, but it's scattered around the house. So what do you have in a house? Now you have what we call Tumas Oil. But it's not all in the same spot. It's all around the house. Do you combine all the oils within the house to make a shir tumah or not? Says Tanakama, yes, Abaye is tamei. Reb Shimon again is matar. The Gemara just explains Reb Shimon is arguing the Tanakama, both dinim. When Afrik gets mixed in, or it's scattered around the house, why do we have to specify the machlokes in both cases? The Gemara explains because the two things are different. Because if you tell me the first halacha, that when the dirt gets mixed in, I said, Rabbanu, you'll see over there, even though the dirt got mixed in, it's still, at least it's gathered in one spot. Since it's gathered in one spot, it still has tumah, and we're not worried about the little earth, the little dirt that got mixed in. It won't be mevatel, the shame, molly tafid record. I've got a spazer when it's scattered, then it won't give off tumah. Because you can't have oil v'chayz v'oil. I mean, the oil has to be in one spot. You can't take oil from separate areas of the house and create one big united oil throughout the house. V'yash minim b'ha. And if you said in this later case that Reb Shimon says it's tar, I'd say b'ham Reb Shimon. If you only tell me the b'chayk is by the case of house, of being scared of the house, I'd say that's Reb Shimon's matar. Dein ma'al v'chayz v'oil. Like you just said, you can't keep joining together these different oils. Aval b'ha. By the case where a little bit of earth fell into the ladle full of mace, dust, maybe the piece of that we don't say that a little bit of earth will be mevatel the shame, the ability to be tamei, and it will still be tamei. Tzricha, Reb Shimon argues over there and says tar, so we have to have mechlekes in both places. Tanya idach, we looked at another baisa, mali tarvid v'oid afar beisa kvaras tamei. If you have a ladle full of dust and a little more, then it's tamei. Reb Shimon tar. So to teach you over here where you have some. Let me say it better. You have a ladleful of dust with some Beis HaKfaras earth. Together. It's in this mixture. So Tanakam says, Tame, you have your shear, the same shita, and the little bit of earth is not being mevato, your ladleful of dust. Reb Shimon says, Tar, because you have something mixed in. My Tamei Darabanan, Fishiv Shalom Ma'atav V'ayid, Afar Beis HaKfaras, Shem Ma'atav V'rekev. It's very simple. The Darabanan say, if you have more than a ladleful of earth in the Beis HaKfaras, there for sure is a ladleful of corpse dust. So basically, let's say you had a ladleful and a little more that came out from a spot where someone was buried. You're right, there may be some earth in there, but you for sure have a shear of a ladleful of corpse dust, and therefore it's going to give off tumah, because again, there are abundant shas they hold, that earth is not mevatel the shame, ladleful of dust, of corpse dust, tumah. But Reb Shimon holds this mevatel, therefore hold, even if you have a shear, it doesn't make a difference, it's going to be tar, because there's bitl via the earth. Hashtam, time of Reb Shimon, Mishim Seifet, Klasai, now they tell me the reason for Reb Shimon is, well, I'm sorry, we took out the bitl. I take back those words. It wasn't bitl, because bitl we said can go both ways. Let the corpse dust be mevatel of the earth. We ultimately say Pshat Reb Shimon is like we just read right now, that the Klasai has to be Kaseifet, it's got to be pure. In order to have a din of ladleful of dust, Reb Shimon's halacha is, it's got to be pure. It says in the Gemara, Hashto da Amrit. And again, I can't say with certainty, Yehuda, that we pass like Reb Shimon. Rambam, I said before, Shulchan Aruch brings it, I take it back. Rambam brings it. Rambam certainly seems to bring it. There's quoting on the side. Rambam brings it. I don't know if Shulchan Aruch brings it. So, Hashto da Amrit, time of Reb Shimon, Mishim Seifa Ketlasai. The reason Reb Shimon is, because of Seifa Ketlasai, Gabishalia Mai Taima. We're back to the question now. Going back full circle, we went off tangent for literally almost an amud. We started this conversation how? We had a machlokes of Shimon versus Reb Meir, when there's an afterbirth in a house, and there's a disintegrated, a chash of a disintegrated baby in the afterbirth, is the house tummy to mismays. So Reb Shimon said, no, it's tar, because you assume it's disintegrated. But why? The whole reason why Meli Tarvid is because it's got to be pure. But by Shalya, that's not Meli Tarvid, that's not corpse dust. Maybe over there, if you don't need it to be pure, it can be mixed with other stuff. It can be mixed with other stuff. Why is it not tummy? Why is he saying that since it's disintegrated and disintegrated in her stomach, it's not tummy? So what? It should still be tummy, even when it comes out of her body, because even disintegrated mace is still mace, and it should be tummy. Amrabi Echaron, Mishab Bitl Barev Nagaba. Now we get back to regular class of dinim, which is Bitl Barev, that the other, I keep calling it junk, I don't know if it's the right term, but the other blood or other stuff in her amniotic sac that were not part of the disintegrated baby, are rave are more than the baby itself. Vaz Rebbe Yechonon, Rebbe Yechonon goes according to his reasoning. To Amar, Rebbe Yechonon, Reb Shimon, Reb Lazar, Reb Yaakov, Amar, Reb Echad, Reb Shimon, and Reb Yaakov, each said the same din, and we'll finish with this. Reb Shimon, Hadamar, Reb Shimon is the member we just said, that when there's a uber, I should say a shalya, that comes out of Isha in a house, and there's no baby to be found inside it because it's disintegrated, we can assume that the disintegration took place before it came out of her body. Aye, so what? There's still disintegrated mace. We're saying bittel. There's bittel from the other stuff in the amniotic sac. Is mevatel the uber shabai. Reb Lezer, what's the same member that Reb Lezer said? Tanya, Reb Lezer, Yaakov Eimer. If a large animal, if it ejected from its body, a large, like charor is like a cake, a cookie of blood, ejected a large cake of blood. And this is talking about an animal, the relevance is, it never gave birth yet. If it never gave birth yet, its relevance, legabi hilchas, bechar, legabi bechar. Says the Gemara, raise it to cover, it needs to be buried. The mother now, you bury this, and the mother subsequently put it from bechar now, because you assume that was that takes the place, that's the first pet derechem, and any further births will not be have a din of bechar. V'tanya b'chiyala, ainam etabalei maga le'masa. B'chiyah taught about this cake of blood that doesn't give off tuma, not tumas maga, or not tumas masa, meaning it doesn't have a status of a nevela. So the Murray asked a very simple question. If you not tell me Tumas Mago, Tumas Masa, this cake of blood that came out of the large animal, so why are you burying it for? The reason you're burying it is it to publicize that the mother's Patrim Bechar. By burying it, it's like it was a Leda, and therefore the next Vlad for the mother will not. I'm a Vad Malyu. People will see, even though it's not the case, it's a Vad Malyu, the cake of blood. They'll treat it like a Vad Malyu, and therefore they're going to say the next one will not have a din of Bechar. So the question is, here's the connection to Asugya. Okay, fine. So if it is Taka, the firstborn, and it does need to be buried to show you it's a Vad Ma'alya, and therefore the next one is not going to be Bechar, so why is it Taka not Tame? Why is it not Tame? Tumas Maga, Tumas, or Tumas Masa? It is and considered an Uber that didn't make it. And that's why it's the Bechar. So why is Taka not Tame? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, Mishim Bittel Brave Nagabah, Al Bittel Brave, even though there was some sort of embryo in this cake that came out of the blood cake that came out of the animal, we say that the other elements inside it are the rave and mevatlat, and therefore it won't have tumas maga tumas masa, but it will be considered a leda in order to say that the next one will not have a din of bechar. One big insight on all this, that even though we're saying that the Shalya that you found without a fetus in it will not make the house tummy, according to Rav Shimon, the mother still tummy tumas leida. This gets back to the point that Shmuel you started touching on before, that you have the call of every shilya has a vlad, and we clarified, it doesn't mean there's a vlad inside the shilya. It just means if there's a shilya, there also was a vlad. So that's exactly this point. The mother still tummy tumas leida, even though it has a tar. Ami, as we have time with Rav Yechanan, the Amakra, Isha ki says, Ria v'yolta zachar, afili yolta ela keinshas Ria tummy leida. This is interesting. He's saying now a little bit different than what we just said a moment ago. He's saying even without what we just said, he's saying that since the pasuk says Isha ki says Ria, that's the pasuk Parshas says Tazria, that a woman's tummy tumas leida. And the pasuk says ki says Ria v'yaldazach. We darshan. We learn that even if it comes out like zera, it comes out not like a proper vlad. Still, it will have tumas leida. It will have tumas leida. Will have this is again not there's not arguing. What we're saying it's different akuda. We were just pointing out that there was a vlad in there that disintegrated. It may be inside the sack or not, but there was a vlad. He's saying a step further. And who told you such a vlad is enough to make tumas leida? We said before, if it ejects from the body, that which was like a fish, a grasshopper, that won't be Tamei Tumas Leida. So why is this case Tamei Tumas Leida? If it's a disintegrated Uber, which we can assume is probably a regular Uber, but the Lamaise says disintegrated, why? Who says that's enough to give off Tuma? That's from this pasuk, Ishi Kisas Riyav Yod Zachar, that even if it comes out like Kain Zera, just like a liquid dissolved, still, it will have a din of Tuma. The Mar is going to be on the Peshat from Eish Lakish on Inner Shimon. Let's pick it up from here tomorrow, Mr. Shimon.